Our text for today comes from Hebrews 12, 1 through 2, and can be found on page 226 in the New Testament of your Bible. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
Well, good morning. I am thrilled to be with you. Actually, it was back in 2002 that I was accosted by Liz Heinzel Nelson and Karen Collins. And I think Damaris was there as well. And Kimmy. And the four of them said, "You would not believe the things that are happening at our church." And, you know, I hear that every now and then. And then I got to see it for myself. And in fact, Karen reminded me of this a few weeks ago. She just sent me an email and said, "Do you remember what you wrote about us?" So I wrote a little book in 2008. And here's what I said. The first time I visited APC, I was struck by the power of its rituals and traditions. Little things like lighted candles on the tables, even in the presence of junior high boys. And the way the tables and chairs magically were taken down after dinner. But one tradition was that gave me and anybody else who walked through the door a powerful picture of who this group is that every person in the group, I don't know if this is still a tradition, but every person who walked in the room was greeted, it is still the same thing, greeted the same way with cheers and applause. The biggest problem facing the Allentown Presbyterian Youth Ministry at Crossroads was what to do with all the kids that keep coming. There are few hot spots in the country where God's Spirit is so palpably present, quite like this place. And part of the reason I get to be with you today is just to shine a little bit of a light on that. So after being a part of your ministry for 10 or 15 years, just in and out, and typically I get to see your staff, you know, a couple times a year and talk to them frequently, I'm just thrilled to get to share with you a bit of perspective about the unique call that God has on this place. So let's pray together. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you, God, are our rock and our redeemer. And if through the words of a man we do not hear the voice of God, then Lord, speak to each of us in the quietness of our hearts. Amen. Well, maybe you heard this story. It's a fascinating story from Oxford University, New College in Oxford University, which is a fascinating name for a 500-year-old school, New College. And there was a Gothic sort of cathedral-like structure. Think the dining hall in Harry Potter, okay? There's this huge cathedral that had been built 500 or 600 years ago, and there was a center beam in the roof, on the roof line, and it began to rot. And so they did the logical thing. They called the architects, and they said, "We just need to order another one of those 100-foot solid oak beams, please." And the architects, of course, said, they don't really make them like that. We'll give you something that looks like that, but there's no way you could afford a real solid oak beam. that long. It's just out of the price. Well, so they began to do the due diligence. They went through the original plans to find out the specifications, and they found this interesting document. And on this document, it was like this royal deed. It had a seal on it. And evidently a baron or a duke or someone had deeded to New College a plot of land with very specific instructions. You know, Duke so-and-so deeds this plot of land to New College at Oxford University for the express purpose of only planting oak trees. So they, you know, it's 500 years old. They're thinking, well, I'm sure that's changed hands 100 times since then. So, but they just go to find this place, their longitude, latitude, and markers on the deed. They go to look at it, and they go to the caretaker who says, I've been waiting for you. And sure enough, there were dozens, if not hundreds, of 300, 400, 500-year-old oak trees. Because someone had the foresight to say, we can make a difference for people we'll never meet, people we'll never see. Don't you love that as an image for the work you're about? That there will be generations that you'll never get to see impacted by the ministry that happens in this church. You know that rule, the best time to plant a tree is about 20 years ago. But the second best time, right now. And you all are in sort of a new season of getting to plant oak trees in this, as you're dreaming about this new space that Crossroads might be in this community. APC has had as one of its hallmarks the building of these highly relational, transformational environments where people come in and something happens to them, right? It's not just about the bricks and mortar. You all have this way of creating a place where kids know they're surrounded, right, by this great cloud of witnesses. But it's not, of course, as Maureen said so beautifully, it's not the work of just the staff. It's, well, let me just illustrate it. I'm going to preach to the choir here. You know this. We had a trip leaving from our church in Nashville, and this was a trip I wasn't going on. The kids were getting on the vans, and there were two moms talking. There was a mom who was a youth leader, and then there was a mom who was a mom. And the youth leader mom says to the mom, which one is yours? And the mom says, oh, it's Sarah. She's in the red top and the blue jeans. And, of course, the mom says to the youth leader mom, which one's yours? Right? One, two, three. Right? At baptism, that's exactly what happens. We all stand up and say, dibs on the baby. Right? That one's ours. That one is ours. Deuteronomy 6 is the most, it's like the John 3:16 of the Old Testament. If you're an Orthodox Jew and you walk into your home, you will kiss a mezuzah as you walk in. And wrapped up on a little scroll inside the mezuzah are these words from Deuteronomy 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. And we sometimes stop right there. But you know what else is on that scroll? These things need to be on your hearts. And then it has a generational address. As if we're going to fulfill this most important commandment, impress these things on your children. That it is at the very heart of who we are as God's people that we are those who impress these things on the next generation. Now, I have to admit, if we do it right, it's going to be a little bit messy. Now, those of you that are parents know what I'm talking about. I have these three children, and my children had this amazing ability to thwart my brilliant parenting strategies. right? It became very messy. Well, some of you have heard me tell this story before. My son, when he was 13, we had a big fight about something. He said he wanted to go somewhere. We said, you can't go somewhere. And so we had a big blowout fight about it. We left, and when we came back home, he had left us a note when we came back. Big yellow legal pad, black magic marker. Dear Mom and Dad, I hate you. Love, Adam. Right? There's a little bit of messiness there, right? The last time I checked, there was only one substance in which things grow, and that is dirt. If we're going to do this business of impressing these things on our children and embracing the next generations in the way you so beautifully described, if we're going to do that, it's going to sometimes be messy work. And when the ground is broken over here for a new facility, it's going to feel like a mess for a good while, right? I grew up in a little Presbyterian church in Waco, Texas. Waco, as you may know, is the home of Baylor University, which is at that time the largest Baptist university in the world. And in my city, I checked the statistics, there are more Baptists than humans, right? And in our little Presbyterian church, we would bring in a part-time Baptist to be our youth director. They were full-time Baptists, but they worked at the church part-time, right? And I was so proud of the fact growing up that none of our youth directors stayed longer than 6 months. We ran them all off. My entire vocation has been payback, right? And so during one of those seasons, our pastor, whose name was George, we of course called him Jorge, and we always in our youth group spoke in a British accent, so we'd say, lovely sermon, Jorge. So during one of these seasons, you should try that with Stephen, in fact. Lovely sermon, Esteban. We had Youth Sunday. And do y'all have Youth Sunday? Well, so we had a Youth Sunday where the youth preached, okay? Because George figured there's one way to get us to pay attention is if we were talking. So I was 15 years old, and I was chosen to be the preacher. Now, suffice it to say, there was nothing about my life that commended the gospel at this time, but I did like to talk, and so George decided he would put me up in the pulpit to talk, and I don't remember exactly what we did, but I do remember the spirit that we went about planning the service. Our spirit was offend at all cost, and if there was one person we wanted to offend more than anybody else, it was Edna Lou Sullivan. Now, Edna Lou was 117 years old when she was born. And every Sunday morning, we were absolutely convinced that she would slice open a lemon, cut it into small pieces, and suck on it. Because there's no way she could get her face that way when she got to church. Here was Edna Lou. Now, Edna Lou is the president of the Zolly Luther Sunday School class. The Zolly Luthers had actually built their own little building out of bricks like the Three Little Pigs to keep us out. Right? Well, when we finished the service, let's just say the mission was accomplished. And so we're at the Enjoyed It line. Do y'all have an Enjoyed It line? You know where Stephen stands at the door, everybody goes by and says, Enjoyed It, Enjoyed It? Yeah. So I'm at the Enjoyed It line, and you know, this church is incredibly gracious, loving us, squeezing our cheeks. I remember when you were in children's time, right? Everybody except Edna Lou. It's a center aisle, so we were at the door looking back in, and we could see Edna Lou is standing with her arms crossed all by herself. And I nudge my buddies. We kind of high-five each other. Because that was our goal, right? We want Edna Lou to be steaming. So about the time the last person is done, here comes Edna Lou up the aisle. And she gets a tractor beam on my eyes. Just laser locks in. And she comes and grabs my arm with her lobster claw hands. She says, young man, I need to talk to you. And I, you know, when you're 15 years old and you got two of your buddies with you, you can be pretty cocky, right? So I look around, you know, to get a little support from my homies. But they had gone homie. And it was just me and Ed and Lou, mano y mano, right? Ed and Lou grabs me, takes me into the sanctuary. There's a little slope going down toward the front, and she gets on the upside, puts me on the downside, so we're eyeball to eyeball. She squeezes my arms and just stares at me. You know that experience where somebody in authority stares at you until your lip begins to involuntarily quiver? Yeah. Finally, she says, young man, I know exactly what you were doing. Don't you think for a second. I don't know exactly what you were up to. And I want to tell you something right now, and you never forget it. You're going to be a preacher one day. I'm here because of the curse of Ed DeLue. When I think of my call to ministry, it all starts with a 117-year-old lemon-sucking woman who was not afraid of being unsettled by a cocky little 15-year-old kid. This is a church that has not stepped back or hesitated to say, these are ours. And we are willing to. There are many things that happen in this church because your investment in this next generation is so profound, right? Well, one other image I want to give you as we think about this great cloud of witnesses. Has anybody in here ever run a cross-country meet? Seen a cross-country meet? You know what I'm talking about? Okay, maybe a third of you. So cross-country is about a 3-mile run, 5K, depends on, you know, where you're running, about 3.3 miles, let's say. And my son ran cross-country in high school. And he ran with this brother and sister pair, Austin and Keeley. Now, they were brother and sister. Austin was a year younger. Keeley was a year older. And Austin and Keeley won one state. Their ninth grade year, 10th grade year, 11th grade year, 12th grade year. Two kids, 8 state championships. Unbelievable athletes. So it was fun to watch them. It was a little boring because they were always ahead of everybody. But what was fascinating was watching their mom. You know the mom I'm talking about? Y'all have seen them, haven't you? So the way this would work is, now, in this particular cross-country field, the kids would take off running like this, and then they'd go like this. And while they're running this way, the fans would run over here. We'd say, go, go, go. The kids would run around here, and the fans would all run over here. Say, go, go, go. They'd come this way, and then the fans would run over here. Say, go, go, go. And they'd come over here. This is why you've never seen a cross-country cheerleader, right? So we would start here cheering for the kids. The kids would go over a hill. You can't see them. By the time we get over here to the first stop, or not the, you know, first stop for us to cheer, Keeley and Austin's mom's already there. And she's screaming her head off. Come on, Austin. Come on, Keeley. Woo, woo. Come on, Austin. Come on, Keeley. And I'm thinking, lady, they're in a different zip code. They cannot hear you. But she's screaming her head off, and poof, there they come by. She watches all the kids on the team come by, and then she runs over here. By the time we get there, she's screaming again. Come on, Austin, come on. And I'm thinking, somebody's cheese has slid off of somebody's cracker, right? Maybe not all there. This happens 5 times a race, 10 races a year, 4 years. So I see this happen about 200 times. Adam's a senior. I've seen this thing over and over and over again. It's just sort of become commonplace, and we still shake our head about it. It's the final turn around this way, and I'm standing behind her, and she's screaming her head off. It's just Austin at this point. Keeley's already there. She's like, come on, Austin. Come on, Austin. And as I'm looking over her shoulder, I see the same thing I've seen 198 times before. that first kid around the corner is always one of hers. I'm thinking, huh, maybe the crazy lady is on to something. Uri Bronfenbrenner at Cornell University says, this is how he describes how young people move toward health. He said, somebody's got to be crazy about the kid. Others say, for us to grow to be rational adults, somebody has to love us irrationally. Is that awesome? I looked over her shoulder and I thought, isn't that a great picture of what the church is all about? Isn't that a great picture of what parenting is all about? Is that we are here to call out the victory in our kids before there's any evidence that they've come around the corner. That they know that before they ever make it, before they ever see us cheering for them, there are crazy people in the stands. This place has been filled with crazy people that have irrationally, repetitively, persistently loved the next generation, many of whom are now young adults themselves, multiplying ministry all around the world. Come on. Because of what has happened here. As you think about this new sort of transformational environment that you'll be investing in, I just want to be clear that we're not talking about a Christian mall, right? For them to be more entertained and have better foosball tables. What we're talking about is an Olympic training facility that sends out champions for the gospel that are multiplying the love of Christ all around the world, sent out from this little corner. So may this church be filled with Edna Luz and Karen Collinses, with crazy moms and James Wilsons. Is that the same thing, really? What? With crazy, ordinary followers of Jesus, who day after day, week after week, year after year, invest in one more grove of oak trees. Thanks be to God. Amen.